and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm okay. How are you?
This coming weekend is the weekend I have to go to the Walmart.
Uh-oh. You know, I actually got a note here. And if you're really big on first appearances and you're really big on listening to the old Cray as to what comics may or may not go up in value, you might want to go pick up that fourth Batman comic.
I've already got it.
At the Walmarts. Because unbeknownst
pick up more.
To everybody, it has the first appearance of Ginny Hicks. Who, I guess, is what?
Jonah Hex's great-great-great-granddaughter, however far back we need to go.
And she's in Young Justice now.
Yes.
Apparently over the Comic Pro weekend, that was a couple weeks ago, Dio. Hey, I got it right. I just can't say it without laughing. He was apologizing because he did not realize the first appearance would be in such a book like that. And I'm kind of like, you know what? I guess I don't mind because I think of it kind of like the old pro wrestling thing where we always talked about house shows. You know, the big things happen on the TV show or the pay-per-views. And then you have these house shows where the talents just go to make extra money, keep loose and limber. They can try out new storylines. But I always said, you know, you should have stuff happen at these house shows. The old AWA did that. The big feud was Jesse Ventura, Adrian Adonis, the East-West connection against the High Flyers, who were the local fanboys. And, well, it was always the good guys going against the bad guys. And eventually they won the tag team titles in Green Bay, Wisconsin at a house show. And of course they were filming. They just happened to be filming it
right,
so they could share it with all the territories. But it made you think, you know what? You should go to these shows because you never know what's going to happen. Same thing here. If you're going to have a first appearance, so be it. It's just one of those things for me as a collector. Yeah, it might drive me a little nuts if I actually cared, but it's just so be it. The other thing he said that was weird was that he thought, judging by the sales patterns, that the people buying these are casual pickup readers. And I don't know if I agree with that, because I think it's more, you know, fanboys like you and me that are going there to buy them because that's the only place we can get them.
Well, we'll soon find out. Joe, do you know why they don't do anything big on the house shows anymore?
I don't even know if they do house shows. I haven't even seen one come
through. Oh, yeah. There was just a WWE house show a couple of weeks ago.
See, I guess I don't care. I haven't really been following wrestling.
But you know why they don't do that stuff on the house shows anymore? It used to be back in the AWA days. TV, they would buy that time. They would buy the time, and they wouldn't put anything big on the TV because they wanted you to pay money to go see them at the house show. And while that house show might have happened in Green Bay, Wisconsin, it also might have happened a few other places. Because I know when the WWE, back in the 90s, when Ric Flair came in, they had Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan. And they had the exact same finish at all the house shows, where Flair would hold the tights to win. And then the people in the crowd would scream and yell. You know, the ref would count 1, 2, 3. Then the crowd would scream and yell that Flair cheated, blah, blah, blah. And the referee would reverse his decision. And then Hogan would, drop the leg. 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
But now TV is where all the money is. Vince is going to be making, 80% of his money will come from TV when the new contract starts this fall. So are you going to do stuff on TV to make your TV partners happy? Or are you going to do stuff at the house shows? They really just do the house shows for extra money and to sell merchandise and everything. It's becoming a smaller and smaller part of the pie. Whereas back in the AWA days, that's where you made your money.
Oh, yeah. I just thought it was significant that they actually had the title change at the one of these shows.
Well, I don't think they ever did a title change on TV, did they?
They had significant things happen on TV, but usually not a title change. I mean, I remember when Jesse Ventura was leaving the territory, they had two of the jobbers, Spike Iron Kadaski and Iron Mike. They actually won the first fall against the East-West Connection. And then the second fall, East-West Connection went nuts and Ollie Carbo came out and I'm going to ban and make sure you guys are never seen again. And, and then they attack Ollie Carbo. Greg Gagne came for the save. And, you know, back then we're all like, oh, wow. And, you know, now, you know, we know what's going on behind the scenes. That just means they were going to another territory. And they showed up again. Oddly enough, when Hogan came back to town. But it was just one of those things that always stuck with me. You know, why Green Bay? And, there may have been something else behind the scenes. Maybe Adrian got hurt or maybe Jesse got hurt or something, and they had to do it. Of course, they didn't have, back then, AWA, when they filmed something, you could always tell when something significant was going to happen because we went to a lot of the house shows. They're right downtown at what was the Civic Center. And they had one camera set up. And when somebody was on the camera, you knew they were filming something that they wanted to share with, like you said, the television audience, where usually the rack jobbers would be. Rack jobbers? No, I'm confusing it again. Just the jobbers. So when that happened, you know, hey, something's going to happen now. So,
well, when I go to the Walmart, there's something there I have to pick up, Joe, and it's part of our American food segment.
Uh-oh.
American food, get away from me.
You're processing fatty, bad for my arteries.
We've got two cereals that I will be picking up.
Uh-oh.
And they were created, they're limited edition, created by Post for National Cereal Day, which was March 7th.
Wasn't there a Together one for Kellogg?
Nope.
Oh,
this
that
is
was
from Post.
Okay.
Cereal number one, Maple Bacon Donuts.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you saving the boxes?
Of course I am.
Okay.
Now, Joe, what you should ask, Corey, you're a vegetarian. How can you eat maple bacon donut cereal?
It's not real bacon.
It says right on the box, no pigs were harmed in the making of this cereal.
Well, yeah. They just had them close their eyes and they went to sleep. Very nice.
It's honey bunches of oats ingredients along with darker colored knockoff Cheerios, presumably meant to be donuts.
What's the other one?
Mix of honey and maple and a bit of smoke flavor, but nothing that screams bacon. If anything, it just whispers bacon. Now that's not the only one.
You read it. Well, never mind. You've read Fast Food Nation, right?
Yeah.
Because, it's just all chemicals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like chemicals.
Well,
let's remember, Joe, what's the one thing I will go to McDonald's for?
Probably what I had last night.
I yell about it every year.
A Shamrock Fake Shake.
Damn right.
Because it's not really a shake because, as you know, they stopped using real ice cream years ago, and it's just powdery stuff.
Yep.
And hopefully they'll mix up the ice cream with the shake because then you really get weird tastes. So what's the other one?
The other one? Chicken and waffles.
So the reason I ask if you save the box, because what I was alluding to earlier, Kellogg's did an altogether cereal box.
Yes, I've looked for that and I can't find it.
Yeah, well, you're not going to, because right now the box itself is going for $130
Holy crap!
Yeah, because it was very, very limited. I forget. I don't even think it was in stores. I think you had to go to the event in order to get one of these. And as we've discovered, there was a place up in Duluth we went to, Toyrific, that he sells not only original boxes, but also replica boxes. And it doesn't matter if this you have the serial or not, because the serial is irrelevant. But if you keep the box, that's what is valuable for serial boxes. So all those boxes you ate growing up, you should have just, you know, taken them serial, cut them off, flattened them, and stored them. And you might have been sitting on a gold mine right now. But no, you just threw out. Yeah. You don't listen to me.
But I started doing it when they brought back the original packaging for the Monster cereals. And yes. I keep the weirder, stranger cereal boxes, like any of the throwback boxes. I like sure. those.
Sure. Those are
let's see. It was only at the New York. It was only at the New York City Kellogg store.
Yeah. It was Bastards. Very, very limited.
Sons.
You know, and that's why I'm curious because, you know, we were talking. Funko's got those limited cereal boxes that not only have a limited little Funko figure inside, but it has some cereal as well. So who knows in the future, those might be the ones that, you know, look back and go, oh, I remember having that. I remember talking to the guy when we were at Toyrific because he had a replica of the Pink Panther cereal, which I recall my grandma getting, you know, which turned the milk a horrendous shade of quick pink. But I wanted the all-in-one.
What do you mean horrendous? That sounds amazing.
It was horrendous. I think it made my grandma ill. She thought it was Pepto-Bismol pink. But, hey, what did I know? I was a young kid. I'd eat anything. Hell, I'd eat it now if you get some of that. I may have to go to Walmart and just pick up a box of those. Maybe next week we'll review what it actually tastes like. I got to write that down. Post-exclusive cereals, assuming we can find it. There. See, folks, we've already given you some good investment advices.
Now, it's by the way, like... I've read up on what was in the altogether. It was Apple Jacks, Corn Flakes, Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, Frosted Mini Wheats, Raisin Bran, and Rice Krispies. Sorry, Crave cereal was not invited to the party.
And apparently it was layered, too, because I've seen pictures of if you pull the box out or the bag out, and it was all layered. So...
But that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, we're here to
know my love of cereal. Sure. Matter of fact, I believe I've talked on this podcast. I have my own religion based on cereal. I'm a cerealologist. I believe that when you die, you go to a grocery store where all the canceled cereals fill the aisles. You have your heaven. I have mine.
Well, I used to have that on the road. There was nothing better than having cereal. Sometimes I will treat myself and use chocolate milk. I'm that type of guy.
I have cereal at work so that when I get to work, you know, I want every second of sleep I can get. So I just pour myself a big old coffee cup of Honey Nut Cheerios or the Chips Ahoy cereal. That's what I have at work now, Chips Ahoy and Honey Nut Cheerios. But you know what we're here to talk about, Joe?
Current investments in the comic shop catalog known as previews.
Investments?
Well, they could be.
I just read them.
Yeah, that kind of the same way.
It's our monthly trek through previews.
I gotta tell you, I'm buying a lot of my regular stuff. I did not see a lot of new stuff that I'm going to start or buy. There's a lot of things I want. And we'll probably get to it when we get to Marvel Omnibuses. I'm looking at you. But I just don't have the money to do it. And, of course, there were tons of things that just different licensed products. Stranger Things is back at Dark Horse. American Entertainment has all the – they've got the license now to what was that? Warlord of Mars, they have it now. You know, there's a Stargate Atlantis cover, you know, all these different things. Investments for the future, who knows? I mean, I'm always curious. because, you know, a lot of comic shops probably won't even be carrying these. And, you know, if you're an online store, maybe you might want to pick them up just to carry them. But that's not what we're about. We are not like, what was the name of that magazine that came out when I had the comic shop?
Comic Values Monthly.
No, no, it was Vantage? It was just talking.
Vantage.
Yeah, yeah. It was only comic about.
It was like that too. It was just, here's what to invest in.
Oh yeah, there was always that. Wizards was the same way. Here are the top 10, and people go crazy looking for them. And Vantage was weird because it was just about, you should buy this and go up. And the only one I'd ever remember that actually panned out was Razor Annual number 1, because it was Corey.
Wasn't that the first appearance of She?
Yes. You are correct, sir. Happy new dime coming your way. Holy cow. Ah. Oh, damn. Well, I'll get it later. It's on the bottom of the jar. So. Oh, okay. Well, we're just going to start from the beginning and work our way through.
Sure.
All right. Now, what I normally do is I have myself a little notebook and I write down everything that I buy, because what I have to do is double check, because sometimes, and mostly this is an independent publisher thing, they don't publish monthly. So I have to go back a couple months, make sure I'm not missing something. In the case of Image, there was only one thing I was looking for that I think I'll probably buy. And let me see if I can find it here, because, you know, God forbid anybody bothered putting anything alphabetical. And so what I had to do is write it. Instead of my handy-dandy notebook, I have just this sheet of paper from that I snuck out of the printer, absconding with government property.
How dare you, sir?
I'd worry about it, but in some ways I'm government property. You know, Corey, go ahead and talk
there
about
there were a few things at Image that jumped out at me. First off, there was the series, well, I think it's still going, Die, 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 which has never been available through previews before, because they always had it in the where you would, what is that called, when preview, when Diamond would say, all right, here's this change.
Advanced solicitations.
Yeah. They would have it in there, but not in previews. But now they finally have it in previews. And boy, Brian Hibbs does not like when they announce series in advanced previews. And I agree with him, because it's like, how the hell does the buying public know about it if it's not in previews? The other thing, they have a new series, Copra, by Michael Fife. And they start by soliciting 5 trade paperbacks. I've never heard of this series. I don't know anything about it. But I tell you what, to pick up 5 trade paperbacks and then they go, and next month will be the first regular issue you could get. I don't want to buy 5 trade paperbacks.
Oh, thanks.
I don't know anything about.
Yeah, and they didn't even bother putting like a preview page or something on, which sometimes they do with new series, which is, it can, you know, there's, I admit, there's times I've bought something just based. Well, the one you talked about, well, not Die, 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 but there was one.
Die.
Yeah, based on dice.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was enough to get me to try it. Still looking for the one that, here it is. Page 74, Paradox Girl, Volume 1. This is one of those that I passed on the regular series because I just want to buy the graphic novel and give it a shot. As a hero with the power to go anywhere and any when, Paradox Girl has made an absolute mess of her own life. She's changed history so often that she isn't even sure who she is anymore. Join her in this superhero comedy as she tries to make sense of her chaotic existence, chases bizarre whims, and maybe even finds time to save the day once in a while. So that is the one I will probably pick up. I may, depending on the overall order, I have yet to pick up Invincible in any form. And I've been waiting to, and now this month they seem to be running a big thing, listing every version they have available. And I might be picking up the compendium. Invincible, of course, was Robert Kirkman's superhero book before he struck it big. I forget what the name of his other series was.
Something about walking.
And it's dead. It'll never last.
never last.
Never last. So, and again, you know, I since nothing's alphabetical, I had it here, but I just have to decide.
New series, then trade paperbacks, and then regular comics. And the the comics are alphabetical.
Yeah, yeah, which helps. But I'm looking for Invincible because I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, it's a two-page spread.
Yeah, yeah. So I see Cobra, but I don't see Cobra.
It's page 78 and 79.
All right. See, look at that. Corey has all the answers. So the question I have is if I go to the compendium, do I have the complete series or am I waiting for compendium 4 to come out?
That I don't know. And it doesn't say.
Oh, it doesn't. So, but I'll check it out. Order retailers, order form for more details. Oh, that doesn't help. Oh, well. Anything else out of Image?
Nothing new.
Like I said, I didn't have anything new I was really excited about, just the old stuff. How about Dark Horse?
Dark Horse. Let's see. I think the first thing that jumped out at me, there's a series by Brian Wood that I really enjoyed, but I kind of lost track of it. Now they're putting it out as omnibuses, and the Dark Horse omnibuses are more like big, thick trade paperbacks of about 400 pages. So the Massive, which is set after global warming has melted the ice caps and everything's changed because of that. The Massive was basically a city ship, and it has gone missing. And that's what this series is about. It'll probably be two or three omnibuses, and I'm picking that up. And then, let's see, there's a Tomb Raider omnibus. It does not collect all the stuff for Tomb Raider that was done at Image, which surprises me. But it does start with all the Dark Horse Tomb Raider stuff, which was written by Gail Simone. And then on the next page is the Bean World omnibus. If you've not picked up the regular books, pick it up this way. It's actually cheaper. Bastard.
And you get a bonus sketchbook.
Yep. But let's see, there are two books that have me really excited. First is, Joe, go to page 125.
All right.
Beasts of Burden, The Presence of Others, by Evan Dorkin and Jill Thompson. This is the one that Evan Dorkin wrote years ago, sent the script to Jill Thompson, and then she kind of dropped off the face of the earth. So he has got her to at least turn in the part that she's done. The second issue will be by a separate artist. But Beasts of Burden is Evan Dorkin's book about neighborhood dogs, which protect the neighborhood from evil.
And you can get the actual trade, which is listed as well.
Yep.
It probably won't be in the order form, but what they do, which is nice, is they actually put the order number there. So you can take that number. If you look right there, it says also available Beasts of Burden Animal Rights. That number there will allow your friendly local comic book store to order a copy for you if you're so inclined, assuming they don't have it in stock already. You know.
And the next one, this is kind of a big deal. Joe, go to page 128.
Okay.
Creepy Archives, volume 29.
Is this
it? The last of the Creepy Archives. They will reprint the last few issues of Creepy, number 141 through 145. With this, it's done, and then they have to do Eerie, but they will have reprinted all of Creepy and Eerie in hardcovers, and I will have them all.
Just self is creepy, but we won't go there. Corey, go to page.
Take a look at some of the artists on there, too.
Oh, yeah. That's Roger who's McKenzie, who.
Michael Fleischer, Don McGregor, Alex Nino, Tom Sutton, Richard Corbin. Not everybody in here is great, but this is sort of the end of the line. And one of the things that I really like about the Creepy Archives is they don't print all the reprints, because both Creepy and Eerie had periods where they were filled with reprints, and you really felt a little ripped off when you bought those magazines. Like, hey, there's two new stories and six reprints. Bastard. So what are you pointing at, Joe?
Page 133.
Ah, Space Blazers.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Star Blazers.
Same thing. Space Battleship Yamato 2199. Now, in 74, they had a series called Space Battleship Yamato, which became Star Blazers for American audiences, because apparently we don't know what the Yamato was and don't care. They dumbed it down, or, you know, they changed some of the things for television. Like, one of the big tropes in Japanese animation is, you know, making the female's skirt go up. Well, they cut a lot of that out here. The doctor was drinking sake and getting drunk. In the American version, he was just drinking water and getting drunk.
Because water gets you drunk.
Now, one thing about it is that the original series was kind of weird because there was only one female on the entire ship. The battles were very one-sided. It was either all the bad guys winning or all the good guys winning. They did a remake called Battleship Yamato 2199, which was a newer anime series of the same story, but with more women, more characters. It was fleshed out a little bit more. The animation was amazing. And this is the anime of that particular series. The original anime came out in limited editions on in the United States. I was able to get like the first four volumes. I think it goes up to seven. And of course, I'm just typing in the Battleship Yamato here. And see how much the DVDs, if you can find them. Yeah, see, right now it's like you see the DVD. Part one is $50. Part two is $40. So on and so on. What I found out is the American versions were exactly the same as the ones you could buy off of Amazon through Japanese dealers. Basically, Blu-ray and subtitled. They're not English dubbed, which is fine. The animation is so much better than the 1974. So I'm looking forward to this. A part of me, you know, wants to read it, and I got time because this isn't coming out till July, even though it's being solicited now. And like I said, I've got the first four. I actually watched the first set of DVDs, and it is amazing. So either way, if you're a Star Blazers fan, you want to go out of your way, look for that $21.99 and pick it up. You can either find some of it on the Amazons or the eBays. It's for whatever reason, they just stopped carrying it, you know, directly to us, which is kind of annoying. But other than that, that's it through Dark Horse.
And now we get to a book that I actually have a lot to say about.
Okay.
DC Previews.
Oh, the separate catalog that should come free with your previews.
And Joe, do you still have last month's of this?
It's buried somewhere.
You'll notice that this one is much smaller.
Well, you're also going to notice I won't have much to say about DC this month. Matter of fact, the one thing I have to say, I will, Corey, here, catch. There, I just gave you 25 cents to get the DC Year of Villain number one, which is going to be a 25-cent one-shot. You know, I mean, come on. Check your house cushions, your couch cushions in your car. These are the type of one-shots when I used to have the second store. They weren't as common when I had the big shop. I can't remember anything going as like a loss leader. But I would, when I had the second store, I would basically put one of these free into everybody's bin, whether they collected DC or not. I just gave it to them as a freebie, just trying to get them interested in what was going on.
Didn't now, really Joe, could you take help. A look at the on sale date?
May 1st.
That means it will be available in stores.
For Free Comic Book Day.
Darn right.
Which is some good thinking there, people. If you look in the beginning of your previews, and we glossed over it because we'll have a whole show on it, you'll see a list of all your stuff that you can get potentially for Free Comic Book Day, whether you can or not from your local comic shop, is really up to them how they do it. I know when Corey and I travel through shops, a lot of them are, you know, you may pick up five or four or whatever. The source will have bags that they give away. And believe me, the source makes an event out of this sucker. We're going to Granite City where he actually will sell you a set if you're a collector and are going crazy trying to get everything. Whereas he costs us out that because he knows we're going to do a show on it. If you're a cheap guy and don't want to spend an entire quarter buying this, don't worry. There's one available as the Free Comic Book Day giveaway. So maybe that's a rare variant, the one that has the 25-cent price on it, or the free one they'll give away with the Free Comic Book Day on it. Look at that. And three investment ideas in one show.
And they'll probably have it free on digital platforms as well.
But you can't sell a digital platform. I'm all about having it in my hands. There is one thing. There were a lot of series starting, and the only one that caught my eye, a miniseries, Batman Last Night on Earth. Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, Jonathan Glapion. And it says, Bruce Wayne wakes up in Arkham Asylum, young, sane, and he was never Batman. It's a sprawling tale of Dark Knight as he embarks on a quest through a devastated DC universe. Three-issue prestige format miniseries. I'll jump aboard for three of that. That actually sounds like it'd be kind of fun.
And it is, Scott Snyder is saying that it is his final Batman story.
Oh, well, that's a bonus. You could wait for the inevitable graphic novel, but I think I'll just pick up the prestige on this one. I am sad to say, other than the resolicitation of Batman Damn 3, probably Bat Prick Free, that's it. I mean, seriously, that's it. There's no graphic novels. There are no omnibuses. Nothing else in the DC catalog that I'm even tempted to buy.
Well, do you want to buy the Batman Damned as a regular comic? Because they solicit the collected trade paperback in the back. The hardcover.
I've already got one and two. As soon as I get three, I'll probably flip it once I've read it.
Well, aren't there four issues?
I have no idea. I thought it was just three.
Let me look. Boom. I like that. It doesn't even say how many issues are collected in the hardcover. Yeah,
they haven't decided. I thought it was three, but I may be wrong.
Well, let's take a look. It should say in Batman Dam number three. Three of three, you're right.
Three of three, yep. Which is rare. Mark this down. I'm usually not. There is a couple of things I was vaguely interested in, but the price kind of pushed me away. Dog Days of Summer, which is a $10 one-shot prestige format full of a lot of series. Almost bought it because Batcow is in it. But at $10, and then I'm still not quite sure if I need to buy the Superman Leviathan Rising Special number one. Again, a one-shot for $10. And I don't know if, are all the stories tied into it? Apparently, some of it, they talk about there's an ongoing Jimmy Olsen series. So there'll be like a teaser for that and going off. DC, really, does this need to be prestige format for $10? You really can't cough it out at like a $6 or $7. Or better yet, do it like you did the Walmart ones. $5.99, 100 pages. You know, $10 for this. As a comic shop, I'd be really pissed at this because this is supposed to be tied in to the event that's going on in Action Comics. Yet, how are you going to get someone to pay $10 for it? You know, and I'm bitching about it. And Corey and I will probably be getting it at half price. I haven't even looked at what Discount Comic Book Service is offering it for. So yeah, I'm a little like I said, there's two big prestige formats I will probably pass on.
And they have really gutted the number of trade paperbacks coming out.
Yeah, everything's new. I did not see any.
Well, not. Let's see. Batman Flash the Button is a reprint. Black Label Saga is a reprint. Year One is, they're doing Batman Year One, another version. That's a reprint. You've got an art of Jim Lee and a poster portfolio for Frank Cho, which is basically, okay, here's all their pinups.
Big art books, yeah. Again, if you're an art student,
Comics 1000 Deluxe Edition, where they take the issue Detective Comics 1000, reprinted as a hardcover. But, man, they have just gutted the number of books coming out.
Which makes me wonder, because there's a lot of books, and I'll talk to it about it when we get to geeking. Like, you know, I'm starting to follow the JSA saga through that. And I'm just wondering, did they cancel all these?
What it is, you know, we've been talking about it for about a month, month and a half now, where DC says, well, we're going to cut back. Well, the main place they're cutting back is their trade paperbacks, which is so unbelievably short-sighted, I can't even fathom it.
Yeah.
They DC got a bean was able to keep up it. With Marvel through the 90s, even though Marvel sold more individual comics with their hardcovers and trade paperbacks. And the current editor-in-chief, the man who supposedly has most of the power now, is the guy who was in charge of Marvel in the 90s, who got fired because they weren't putting things into trade paperbacks and hardcovers. Oh, no, we want people to buy the individual comics. Sorry, dude. People don't like that format unless they've grown up with it. And you've got two whole generations of people who did not grow up with that format.
Yeah, my daughters don't buy individual series. They wait for the graphic novel. I mean, even now in Image, there was a couple series. I think one of them called Snot Girl.
Yeah.
And another one, The Beauty, that Holly wants me to get the graphic novels.
Right.
She doesn't care about the individual issues. She actually gave me her individual issues, and I believe they're either on or I sold them on my eBays. So, yeah, again, Harris, you are way, way beyond. You're just not connected with today's audience. And being that, I don't know. But we raved about it. Let's just keep going positive on this.
But all right, again, let's head over to IDW.
I was going
to
say, this is telling. I'm not, other than the two things I mentioned, there's nothing else in DC. IDW, speaking of graphic novels, has something I am really, really interested in.
And I can already tell you, Joe, it's on page 147. Right?
Yep. George Takei is he's writing a story about this is basically his memoir when he was, as one of the Japanese, was sent to an American concentration camp as one of the 100,000 Japanese Americans imprisoned by the U.S. government during World War II. I have read his autobiography where he talks about as a kid, he was largely oblivious to just how bad things really were because he looked at everything from a kid's standpoint. And I can imagine we're going to see this play out in the graphic novel as well. But, you know, this is going on today, you know, with the immigrants. So if you want to see just how wacky your government can be, folks, this is history. This is his personal memoirs, and it's sad to say I'm excited to read it, but I'm a history buff, and I really want to see how this was through his eyes. Writers George Takei, Justin Enzinger, Stephen Scott, with artist Harmony Becker. Any thoughts you have on this one, Corey?
One of the things about it is that he's also done a Broadway musical about it. I think it's important for this story to be told because as World War II gets further and further and further away, you know, look at the number of people now who are Holocaust deniers. Look at the number of people now who don't understand that Nazis are kind of a bad thing. It's important for us to remember this stuff. I dated a woman once who always would get mad when I would say history repeats itself. And I've since changed that to history may not repeat itself, but it does rhyme. There's always a group that we don't like. when I hear about, oh, you know, when people used to come to the U.S., they came legally. No, there were no laws about immigration until the early 20th century, and they were aimed at making sure that Asian people didn't come to the U.S. There have always been groups of immigrants we hate. If you go back, I can't tell you how many of the Italian stereotypes there are in old movies, and the Irish stereotypes, you know, the cop on the take with the brogue, and you know, no Irish need apply. We've always disliked the next group of immigrants. Always. Even at your shop, you know, we had all of the Vietnamese refugees, the Hmong.
Hmong. Yeah.
And there were people there who talked about them as if they were animals that had been set loose in the city, rather than, well, no, these are people we said that we would protect them, and then we didn't.
And as far as I was concerned, I love these kids because they came in, they bought. You know, I can't tell you it saddened me one day when I opened up the paper and discovered one of the customers that came was a victim of gang violence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was always that way. I didn't care who you were. As long as your money was green, I loved you as a customer.
But I think this is an important story, and I'm glad that George Takei is working to get it out there during a time when, you know, if you watch the news every few days, we found out, and oh, yeah, well, you know how they say they started on this date? No, they started a year earlier. Or, you know, we can't find the kids. The kids have been separated from their parents and we can't find them now. Or there's this church that is connected to someone in the cabinet. And all of the refugee children were kind of funneled through this church's for-profit adoption service. We're finding out these horrible, horrible things as they keep going. And we need to kind of remind people, hey, we did this before and it didn't turn out well. On a much lighter note, Joe, please go to page 153.
153 it is.
I am not buying the Star Wars Kids book, but I am going to buy this one. And when you look at the cover, you'll know why.
Stop.
Jackson is back.
Oh, good man. You never let a good character
die. Roy Thomas fired from the Star Wars comic.
The one character that Lucas banned forever.
Well, he's back.
Is it a matter, you know, it's only a matter of time before the holiday special is made canon.
Oh, it's only a matter of time before it's out on restored Blu-ray.
It should be. I mean, don't leave money on the table. There's dummies like me that would buy it. Especially if you could get like every, oh, I can't believe we did it. They just needed the money. Get Lucas. Okay, I only did it because I was forced to. I never did it again.
I would love to know the behind the scenes of how that was written and how it got through. I really would. Because you would think that Lucas would be able to have kind of strong control over Star Wars, but he turned it over to TV variety people.
Yeah.
At a
Which
time
again, if you're
variety
a, if,
shows were pretty much dead.
Yeah, if you're a if you grew up knowing these things, like, you know, Captain Tennille, Cher, Donnie and Marie, you know, it was just that's essentially what it was. It was a 70s variety show. And it was probably because it was the only thing they had available. I mean, we've talked before, and if not, there's a wonderful Netflix show that covers it, about they didn't even have Star Wars toys ready to go until almost a year after the movie hit. And this was probably just a way to capitalize on it. And I don't know if George, I imagine you could Google and finally find somewhere where George talks about why he did it and why he never did it again. But, you know, I'm all for making a collector thing of it. Make it $50 a DVD. You know, somebody's going to buy it. Just like on page 172, this is in the maybe category. Because, like I said, I got to total everything up and see what I go. A collection, Godzilla Kingdom of Monsters, which I believe was originally a Dark Horse miniseries. And now IDW's got a hold of it. And this has got everybody in it. Anguirus, Petra, Destroya, King Ghidorah, Mothra, Space Godzilla. Oh yeah, you can't go wrong with some big ass monsters chomping at your show.
This is a 12-issue series that was written by Eric Powell, who does The Goon. It was so fun.
It was. So yeah, this one's definitely on the, we'll see what happens.
Now, on Clark, the next page is one that I'm interested in.
I was going to ask, because I saw this and I thought, boy, if Corey doesn't get this, I would love to get this myself.
What this? It's another Yo book.
Yo.
It is Marvel Masterwork pinups. These are all the pinups from the early days of Marvel, because what they would do, they don't do this anymore. But comics used to, okay, here's a pinup page of the hero. And it would be, you know, just that. It's just a drawing of the hero for you to take out of the comic and put on your wall. And they do not reprint these in the Essentials or the trade paperbacks. They used to put them in some of the early Masterworks, but I don't know if they do anymore. But they are in the omnibuses. But it's... oh, it's such a cool idea. And then the page after that, page 176, Why Did We Trust Him? By Shannon Wheeler, which is another collection of Shannon Wheeler's cartoons that he does for The New Yorker and other places. The idea of the one-panel cartoon, the gag cartoon, seems to be dying. Do you remember when Playboy quit publishing? They were going to be digital only, and then they decided to come back and be, and they weren't going to have nudity anymore.
Yeah.
And then they came back, and okay, here's the magazine. One of the things they did to save money was they got rid of the cartoons. So the only magazine that still prints cartoons, one panel cartoons, is The New Yorker. That's the only market. And when I was a kid, one panel cartoons were so big that, you know, they would put out, you know, they were in all the magazines, but you remember the Scholastic books would put out collections of them. Now, I still like them. And Shannon Wheeler's the guy who did Too Much Copy Man. He also put out a brilliant book a couple of years ago, Ship My President Tweets. So I love Shannon Wheeler's cartoons, man. I think his stuff is great. That's all there was for me, unless you guys want to buy me the Jack Kirby Commandy Volume 1, Jack Kirby People, Jack Kirby Mr. Miracle, and Jack Kirby New Gods Artist Editions.
Yeah, his birthday's coming up, so it might work.
And if you guys aren't going to put together a Wikipedia page for us, you could at least do this for me, can't you?
Yes, at least.
Bunch of savages.
Speaking of savage, and by that I mean we're moving into Marvel. I wasn't going to... I'm not interested in another Avenger title.
Until?
You got me at Conan the Barbarian. He's going to be part of Savage Avengers. And, you know, and I'm reading this, it's like, okay, the most savage, unkillable team of characters in the Marvel Universe is assembled. Wolverine, Venom, Elektra, Punisher, and in their midst, Conan the Barbarian.
By Gary Duggan. And okay. This is Mike Diodato's
You had me at Conan. Diodato just cemented it. And I'm kind of curious. And it's, of course, it's starting with Conan versus Wolverine, which I think was a what if, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, or it might have been. I don't know. They're... I'm speechless because I'm so gamed for this. And, you know, I'm thinking also, you're like, okay, you're going to have the mean Avengers. It's no code. You know, we'll see what they do. Well, what can they do that'll make them savage that will not, you know, they aren't going to kill the hero. Are they going to kill the villains? What are they doing? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm going to see how long this goes. It's going to be fun. There's about 500 variants with it. So, you know, pick and choose the one you like. So other than that, that's it.
Well, there are 27 pages of comics that tie into War of the Realms.
And I'm sticking with the original. I may get really excited when this is coming. And, you know, I got to admit, it's actually the way they got War of the Realms laid out. It's almost like everybody's involved some way or another. It would have behoove them to have and maybe they do. I haven't been to the local comic store in a while, like a flyer like they did with Secret Wars that came out, where they said, okay, here's Battle World. Here's where everything is. And you're reading this going, oh, 2099, Age of Apocalypse, Weird World. And you just were like compelled. As I read through, and I do read through all the solicitations. I mean, I'm not being, you know, a dork. I do read to see, like, hey, you guys got your one page and maybe half a paragraph to convince me to plunk down my money for it. And so I'm reading through these, and you're reading where, okay, this is basically War of the Realms. This reads like it's a war. If you've got $127 to drop on every single crossover, God bless you, because I don't, and I'm not. But, you know, again, I might get excited. I bought a lot of Secret Wars crossovers. I bought a lot of World War Hulk crossovers when they happened. I may get caught up in this, or I may just wait in 5 years for the Omnibus to come out. Marvel Unlimited. I don't know. But it's a lot of money, and I'm kind of curious to see. And, Corey, you might know by the time it hits how the sales will pan out for all these crossovers coming up.
Yep, we will bring that up when it does happen. The Marvel's True Believers are what they call Marvel's Greatest Creators. And it's an odd little mix of books.
Yeah, I've only got a few that I'm picking up. I'm mostly either ones that I know I don't have in my collection, ones that I may want to read again. Like I think they have Power Pack number one, which yeah. I haven't read in ages, which I recall loving it when it came out. There's a What
number
If
one.
First appearance of Spider-Girl and the original Spider-Girl. Not, I don't know if there's a current Spider-Girl or not. But yeah, there's some other ones. A lot of these I had to stop and think, you know what? I've got these in my Marvel Essentials. They're probably online. Yeah, if I had a comic store, I'd be buying them because, I mean, you know, a buck. It's not a bad thing for a buck. There's one, though, that's listed elsewhere that I bet you, even, Corey, you wouldn't have guessed that I would have bought.
Well, on the next page is a comic that I'm buying, and I don't buy a lot of single-issue comics anymore. But this one, I can't see where they would collect it, and it sounds like fun. And that is Star Wars number 108. The all-new next issue to the original Star Wars series.
Star Wars 108?
Yep.
I missed that. Where is that?
It's on the page right at, it's on page 38-39.
Oh,
with
geez,
a cover by Walt Simonson.
38-39?
Yeah, page 38-39.
Wow, no wonder I missed it. Now, that's really dumb. Why isn't that way back in the Star Wars section?
Because it's cool. I don't know.
I you know what I'm going to buy? Corey, go to page, well, it's not marked, but if you go to page 89 and go back one page to 87. Okay. There you got some Star Wars True Believers. Corey, guess which one of those four I'm buying?
The Ewoks one.
Damn straight. Never ordered it. Never had it. I've got the eBays up while Corey espounds on anything he might be buying. I'm going to just type in Ewoks number one and see what kind of price it has on the eBays.
Well, there aren't any more number ones because everything, all the money's going.
Yeah. So you can go buy number one for $220 or just buy it for a buck.
Now, is that $2.20?
Yeah.
Okay.
$2.20, not counting shipping, because that's the key. Oh, $2.20. Oh, yeah, but $1.89 shipping. So not a tremendously expensive issue. And, of course, that's not necessarily mint. There are some other ones that are higher priced, like very good. There's one for $8 and, you know, goes up from there. But I'm curious, you know. This was long after I wasn't interested in Star Wars. And the other ones I've had or I've read.
Now, there's a lot of books that Marvel's putting out that I'm jumping on. Your first one, Infinity Wars by Gary Duggan, the complete collection. I knew they were going to do it. It's not big enough to be an omnibus, supposedly, but it's 592 pages, which is bigger than some of the omnibuses, for only $50. This is Infinity Countdown Prime, Infinity Countdown, Adam Warlock, Infinity Countdown 1 through 5, Infinity Wars Prime, Infinity Wars Fallen Guardian, and Infinity, and material from the tie-in books.
And the only I wasn't that impressed with the series, because I bought the Infinity Wars, and I really, I don't know, I wasn't into it as much as I thought I would be.
But for me, $25, because, you know, that's the DCB service price, $25 for the whole thing, yeah, that'll be a good read.
And I don't think there is anything else that ties into it. So well, that essentially is an omnibus.
The characters are mashed together.
Oh, so they didn't do those. Okay, I'll wait for the omnibus. I've got patience.
Right under that, one of the greatest comic runs of all time. X-Men by Roy Thomas and Neil Adams. With the greatest Sentinel story ever. It's so good that pretty much anybody who does the Sentinel story wants to rip it off. Where the Sentinels pretty much capture all of the X-Men and all of the mutants. It was really kind of the first time that they went after, you know, when they went full on mutant prejudice rather than, you know, just bits and pieces of it here and there. And it's Neil Adams doing Neil Adams, man. Neil Adams inked by Tom Palmer. The only thing I hope is that they don't let Neil recolor it, because when he recolors it, it doesn't look good.
This one may be on the list for me to buy. I've got to do a little more research, because I have not been able to get a copy of Essential Classic X-Men Volume 3, which would have these in it. And I don't know where Volume 2 cuts off. And they are good stories. So I may end up going for this. It's kind of weird because, you know, Essential Classic X-Men Black and White is $20. Well, here for $30, probably half price with discount comic book service. Here's your chance to get the hardcover.
Well, in color. It's 40, so it's 20 with DCB service.
Yeah.
The next page, Marvel Horror.
And this is where I'm going to sit back and let Corey go nuts, because I don't have the cash to do this.
This one reprints the Marvel Horror books of the 70s.
Oh.
All of the series. So the Living Mummy. So, okay, we got the Living Mummy. We got It, the Living Colossus. We got Brother Voodoo. So let's see who else. The Zombie. It's got all of the zombie stories from the Black and White magazines, which is pretty cool because those stories were awesome in and of themselves. Let's see. The Golem, Gabriel the Devil Hunter, the Scarecrow, Mordred the Mystic. I'm kind of surprised they don't have the Frankenstein monster in here, but pretty much unless it's one of the ones that lasted a while, like Werewolf by Night or Dracula or Man-Thing, it's going to be in here. The thing about the Marvel Horror is they basically did horror characters in a superhero type world. And this is all of them. 1,320 pages. Then on the next page, Golden Age Submariner, the pre-war years. This reprints all of the Submariner stories that they did before World War II. So it's the stories from Marvel Mystery Comics. Marvel Comics number 1, then Marvel Mystery Comics 2 through 31, Human Torch Comics 2 through 6, Submariner Comics 1 through 4, All Winners Comics 1 through 4, Daring Mystery Comics 7 and 8, and Comedy Comics, 864 pages for $150. This is not for people, this is not for the casual reader. This is for the people who love the work of Bill Everett and want to read those stories. I've got a lot of this stuff in Masterworks. I do want to go through and see how much new stuff there would be for this. And if there's not a lot of new stuff, I'm not picking it up. Because if I've got it in Masterworks and other collections, I really don't need to pick it up again for $150. But this is going to be some beautiful Golden Age stuff if you are a Golden Age fan. If you have not read these stories and you are not a fan of the Golden Age, you're probably not going to want to get them. I would instead pick up Decades the one for the 40s because it's got all the Human Torch versus Submariner stories. And if you read that and are like, you desperately want more, then I would go for this.
And if you are a fan of newer stuff, on page 109 is the Spider-Man by John Byrne omnibus, which has all of his Spider-Man stuff. I mean, we're talking like Marvel team-ups, Amazing Spider-Man, a couple of the one-shots he did, his chapter 1, 0, 1 through 12, going all the way up through Marvel Authentics, Amazing Spider-Man number 1. And John Byrne's art is awesome. Story sometimes, whatever, but a lot of this stuff is fun reading. I know, I think I've picked up a few of the other things he's done where it's just like John Byrne specific. So if you're a John Byrne fan, these are that would be a good one to pick up.
A few pages later, you've got the latest of the Decades books. This one, The Mutant Explosion. And the 90s were, oh my God, too many X-Men books.
Too many lines.
Let's see. It has Excalibur number 42, Wolverine number 48, X-Factor 87, which was the first Peter David issue, X-Men, Adjectiveless X-Men number 27, Generation X number 4, X-Man number 5, Uncanny X-Men 328, X-Force number 55, Deadpool number 2, and Cable number 54. So this is kind of a sampling of what the X-Men were like. The page before is kind of a nice Captain America book that gives Captain America through the years. If you want to sample that for me, it's like I have all those stories in other formats. But the next page is one that I never thought they would reprint. It is the John Romita Sr. Marvel Visionaries book. This was a hardcover that came out almost 20 years ago, I think now, which reprints the best John Romita Sr. stuff. And I cannot recommend this enough. It's got some of his stuff from the 50s, the 60s, and into the 70s. Joe, tell the people why you like John Romita.
He's a damn fine, handsome man. Oh, I mean, he took over right after Ditko on Spider-Man. And that's why I liked him.
When I would argue with people in the shop, there were people who, Romita did the best Spider-Man, Ditko did the best Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Now, Romita came from Romance Comics. So while he didn't do the action as well, he made the soap opera stuff in Spider-Man look very cool. Peter Parker became handsome. Gwen quit looking like an incredible bitch and instead looked like, you know, a very sweet girl. And Mary Jane was the sexiest woman in comics in the 60s. All because he drew her.
Face it, Tiger. You hit the jackpot.
Joe, you know how they've been doing those one-shots of Silly Seal and Ziggy Pig, Crypt of Shadows, Love Roman. There's a trade paperback that reprints them. That's on page 124. It's $17.99. I tell you what, it's worth it for the War is Hell issue by Howard Chaykin.
You know, I'm a little disappointed with Marvel because they really didn't do a lot of how would you say, legacy stuff, this particular previews. There were two books that I may buy, and I'd have to back order one of them, because the first one is Speedball, The Masked Marvel.
Yes!
Which, again, did go. And I don't recall reading the originals, so that might be fun for me first time reading it. And I'm looking for the other one, but I guess volume 2 of Thor, and that's Jason Aaron's run. I didn't order volume 1 because last month was killer. However, this month I may just call up and say, "Hey, I'll do order 2 of volume 2. Get me volume 1."
They're really going to push the Avengers collections because this is when the Avengers Endgame comes out. The Epic Collections, the first one is Amazing Spider-Man, The Goblin Lives, which reprints Spider-Man 53 through 67. So you got a lot of that John Romita Jr. stuff in there. It also reprints Spectacular Spider-Man 1 and 2 from the 60s. Joe, for a shiny new dime, what was Spectacular Spider-Man?
That was the first regular Spider-Man series that came out. First one for the longest time, of course, Amazing Spider-Man. And then it was such a big deal. It was called, of course, Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man came out. And
no,
it was.
No.
Oh,
no.
Too far back?
You do not get the shiny new dime.
Hey,
this
I'm
is
not
further
wrong.
Back.
I should get a nickel. Oh, you're talking the one-shot magazine that.
This is the
nobody,
two-issue black
nobody
and white magazine.
Ever saw until the advent of eBay, and you suddenly realize, yeah, there are a lot more of them out there. I mean, it was mythical. It was like the Superman-Spider-Man team-up. It was like What If number one. These are holy grails of mine that I wanted to buy that nobody had, at least not in the Twin Cities area.
Yep, this was Spider-Man was selling so well that Martin Goodman said, we'll try it as a magazine. So Stan actually worked up a couple issues of a black and white magazine, and they did not do very well. So there was only two issues. And the second issue sold so poorly that they repurposed the story later on in Amazing Spider-Man. They did some did a little redrawing and rewriting and turned it into two or three issues of Amazing Spider-Man. Right underneath that, the Daredevil Epic Collection Purgatory and Paradise actually reprints the last batch of issues of the first Daredevil series because Daredevil was canceled in the 90s. Don't worry, it was brought back by Kevin Smith and it did okay.
Yeah, it wasn't timely, but it did okay.
But the one that I'm going to point out that I bet most people have never read and is one of my favorite series of the last 20 years. Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane.
Oh, I'm on that same page because I was going to highly recommend this if you have a young daughter, including the book above, because my daughters absolutely loved the regular series that when it came out. And I remember hunting high and low for them at the various comic cons.
What this is, it's written by Sean McKeever, drawn by Takeshi Miyazawa. It is a romance comic from Mary Jane's point of view, and it's set with Mary Jane going to the same high school as Peter Parker, which didn't happen. But this is such a charming, wonderful comic. And it's one of the things why, you know, when they ended the Mary Jane Peter Parker marriage, there were so many great things that came out of that. I understand why it was done. I disagree, but I understand. But this series, such a fun, well-done series, and the artist brought the manga style to the U.S. without it being super stylized, that I am amazed that this book has been out of print so long. This is something you could put this is aimed at kids age 8 to 14. It just, but it's a lot like the Uncle Scrooge comics by Carl Barks in that I like it too. There's stuff in there for adults and stuff in there for longtime Spider-Man fans.
And we talked on and on about Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
I may not be for you, but I'm telling you, the kids at the library, they love it.
Yep. And on the next page, they're reprinting Adventures of Spider-Man, which was based on the 90s TV series where they basically just adapted the TV episodes into a kid's comic. I'm not going to buy it, but I don't know. Maybe somebody will want it.
Yep.
Back to previews. Our previews episodes are always long. You know
they
that.
Are, but I mean, again, I've only got a handful of regular or off mainstream books that I'm even looking to buy. Most of the ones, again, I mean, I may sound chintzy, but I've got my regular series. There's just not a lot of new stuff.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a right or left in your political view, you definitely want to pick up From Devil's Due on page 308, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the Freshman Force, new party, who dis, one shot.
Jeez.
Again, my goal is to hopefully see her and have her autograph it. I never did get Barack to sign my Spider-Man one. Never got John McCain, rest in peace, to sign my other one. But yeah, it's all political. It's all timely. If you had a comic shop, you definitely want to get in on this because you got mainstream press on this sucker. So, in serious world, on the very next page, 310 from Drawn in Quarterly, again, another historical type graphic novel, Grass. Kim Suk Jendri Kim. I'm just going to read it. Grass is a powerful anti-war graphic novel offering a firsthand account of the life story of a Korean girl who was forced into sexual slavery for the Japanese Imperial Army during World War II. To this day, a disputed chapter in Asian history. They have not, they remember their history. They don't forgive. And nobody's apologized. I don't even recall. So for me, this is almost like a historical document that I want to read. Anything else before that? Because I'm already in the D's. I mean, that shows you how far ahead I am.
Well, this month's issue of Cerebus is Cerebus Woman, which has a Wonder Woman cover.
Cerebus Woman, stay away from me.
Wow, we're using the same song twice.
We did.
And with Archie, you've got Archie at Riverdale High, Volume 2. I like these because they're a little bigger than digest size, and they reprint a bunch of stories. It's 224 pages for $10.99. I wish they would do another volume like when they did the complete Sabrina, where they just reprint them all. But yeah. I guess they're not going to do that. But I still like these. This is stuff from the 70s.
I'll probably pick up the Archie Super Teens one, because I always thought those stories were kind of fun. The same thing. They're just doing a book. Now, if you don't got enough Archie goodness in your life, go back to page 190 and look in Dynamite, because they have got a foursome that will make men weep. I'm talking Red Sonja, Vampirilla, Betty, and Veronica. And of course, as usual, Dynamite has about 10,000 different variant covers, including some in Dynamic Forces. So, look in their section too. The one I'm looking for, depending on the cost, is the cosplay cover. Because I like me. And Dan Parent's got a cover. Robert Hack's got a cover. One thing I thought interesting, Dynamite is offering their what they call virgin covers. It used to be available as a retailer incentive. Now they're available as like $50 books you can buy, which is really odd because sometimes if I luck out, I'll scope the shelves and find a virgin cover. And by that, there's no cover, there's no price, there's no title. It's just the cover. And the ones they've chosen to do are Faye Dalton's, which is the regular cover, and then, of course, the cosplay one. Below it, they have Ken Hauser doing a bunch of different covers, including one with all four of them. There's a blank variant, signed variants. Dynamite's got all sorts of things like that. I got a whole list of things I'm going to look up. I mean, there's an enamel pin set for this series. They've got some cosplay boxes. They're doing a card set of cosplay, as well as there's a CGC graded Red Sonja Frank Cho. I mean, they're like double down, triple downing on this stuff. So. But again, I like a good crossover as much as anybody, so I might have to check that one out.
If you go to It's Alive Press on page 330, there is a reprint of a Trina Robbins graphic novel from the 80s called Silver Metal Lover. It is a novel adaptation of Tennant the Lee's science fiction romance novel. A young girl in the far-flung future who falls in love with a robot. This was printed way back in the 80s. And Trina Robbins did a Kickstarter to reprint this. So there is it's a hardcover. The Colleen Doran cover is actually cheaper. No, wait, I'm sorry. The Colleen Doran cover is more expensive. and they have the original cover by Trina Robbins. It's a little pricey for what you get, but still, I love me some Trina Robbins. And then right before that, if you're looking for something fun, the Insight Editions is publishing these books. They're 3 inches by 4 inches that are the complete covers to DC Comics. So this is volume two. So it reprints Detective Comics covers, 304 of them. And then there's a Wonder Woman that also reprints her covers. So those are fun little books if you just want to look at the covers from back then.
If you go to Source Point Press, which is up in page 374, not only is Floppy Cop number 2 out, and you know, I got me number 1, but they have another one that caught my attention, Sham number 1 by Tim Fuller with various artists. Why? Well, did you ever wonder what happens when copyrights run out? In this case, it means irrelevant cartoonist Tim Fuller can take public domain funny books from the 40s and 50s and rewrite them with hilarious results. New stories for you, the hip cynical reader. You know who you are. And I have seen other people do it. There was one called Last Kiss. I forget who wrote it, where he got all the old, was it Carlton Romance Comics?
It was the Carlton Romance Comics, because Carlton basically sold off all their copyrights, and anything that didn't sell went public domain, baby. Yeah.
And I will find out who did that while Corey tells us his next one. But I recommend Sham Comics and, of course, Floppy Cop.
If you flip back to Last Gasp on page 336, it is a book by Tom Morrow that is not being published by Tomorrow's, but he has been pushing it heavily. And it is The Book of Weirdo, a retrospective of R. Crumb's legendary humor and humor comics anthology. Weirdo Comics was kind of the last big underground book. It was an anthology. R. Crumb was the editor for a while. I think Peter Bagg was the editor for a while. This is a retrospective of the stuff that came out from it. I find this stuff interesting. If you're not interested in underground comics in the 80s, you're just going to snore. But I really want to read this, because Weirdo was fascinated me how it came together and how it lasted as long as it did. And the next thing is a reprint on page 351. The Silent Invasion. Silent Invasion was a book put out by, Joe, do you remember Renegade Press?
I do.
That was the when Dave Sim and his wife got divorced, because there for a while, Dave Sim's Aardvark Vanaheim was publishing more than just Cerebus. There were other books, and his wife was kind of in charge of those. When they got divorced, Cerebus went to its publishing company, and Renegade Press was the other company. And one of the series that they put out was The Silent Invasion. It was done by
86. Michael Cherkis and Larry Hancock.
And it's set in the 50s about a UFO invasion, where basically 50s United States is being infiltrated by aliens. I don't want to spoil any of it.
Think X-Files.
Yeah, before the X-Files. And the art is very stylistic. It's a very moody piece. It's just beautifully done. And I'm glad that it's finally getting into print. I have the original comics. They put out books of it, but I don't remember getting those. And for a while, I've been thinking, oh, you know, I want to get that. Do I have the issues?
There are 4 of them. And the original series looks like it went about 12 issues.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just going to fire up the old, there was a volume 2 from Caliber that had 6 issues, but those were just reprints.
Yeah. But I am so excited about this book. I guess the first volume was a while back, but I didn't see it. But you can pick it up here. And for me, the next step is Tomorrow's.
I've got one before that. I just want to mention Last Kiss was done by John Lustig. He had a 4-issue series in 2001, but I believe he does a lot of it online. If you go to like gocomics.com, you can find his stuff. Tremendously funny. The last comic I'm looking for before, you know, tomorrow for me is back issue, of course. On page 375, Storm King Productions has John Carpenter's Tales of Science Fiction Surviving Nuclear Attack number 1. No idea if this is going to go beyond that, but you had me at John Carpenter. You had me at Nuclear Attack. I guess this is a story in John Carpenter's monthly analog series. So I'm just going to jump on here and give it a try and see how it is. And, you know, again, it's a comic, so it's $3.99. So once I read it, we'll probably revisit it in one of the freaking or geeking sections. So, but like I said, other than that, I've got a lot of things on my list. It's just all the regular stuff I normally buy. How about you, Corey? Anything you mentioned tomorrow? What do you got hiding there?
It's the same stuff that I always get. It's let's see here.
Alter Ego.
Alter Ego back issue.
I love back issue. There's another American Comic Book Chronicles. They're back in the 70s this time.
Yep, that one has come out before, but if you don't have it, go ahead and pick it up. I have an interview with the guy who wrote that.
Oh. I don't know if I bought the book across from it. Lou Schemer, Creating the Filmation Generation. I've got to check. I thought I had ordered this, but that if you grew up in the 70s or even in the 60s, I mean, Filmation was the bane and boon of your comic Saturday morning viewing. Because not only did they probably do almost every single thing you're watching, Batman, Superman, Aquaman, Lone Ranger, they did live action, Shazam, Secret of Isis. They even went into He-Man. So they've been around for a while. But now it's the story that illustrates everything with the photo and the model sheets and stuff. So that's a good one to pick up.
Now, I read this book, and I'm going to tell you, Lou Scheimer thinks he is the greatest animator in the history of mankind. this is a book of him blowing his own horn.
And he better, because as a kid, I may have accepted it, but when I was watching Looney Tunes on ABC and then I turn over to what he had, I'm talking like Star Trek, I'm talking Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Fat Albert. I knew I was getting shortchanged here.
Oh, the Star Trek series is fascinating to me because the scripts are good and the voice acting is good and the animation is pitifully terrible.
Ugh. It is
almost better for me to just close my eyes and listen to it like it's a radio play.
As long as we're going across, let's do for the win. University Press of Mississippi has another book in their awesome series of Conversations.
Yes.
This is a soft cover. Larry Hama, which I'm assuming if it's a soft – well, wait a minute. It says soft cover up top, hardcover down low. The ones I've seen have all been hardcovers, but I've had the one with Jim Shooter. I've had the one with Dave Sim. Larry Hama, I can't even think of how to describe what he's done. G.I. Joe is the big thing. And this is collected.
He's been an editor at Marvel for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
This collection. Still working on G.I. Joe, by the way.
Yep. He helped develop the G.I. Joe toy line. He worked with a new generation of comic book fans. I find these books endlessly fascinating. And I've also seen the resale value on them is crazy. So, again, if it's a hardcover, you got a nice piece for the collection. It's weird. It's a soft cover one, hardcover. I was under the impression, I think it is a hardcover because $25 sounds about right, at least for the ones that I've seen. So, again, if you're a comic history aficionado like Corey and I tend to be, this would be another one to pick up.
By the way, Joe, should I give a scoop?
Yes.
I know what the next two are going to be.
And they are?
Doug Mensch and Don McGregor.
Take my money now!
You know who else wants your money, Joe?
Well, it could be one of anybody. Amazon, Walmart, Sears.
No, it's these guys, our sponsors. Promotional consideration is paid for by the following sponsors. Our first sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com has been with us since the beginning. They're the best web host in the whole known universe. And if you need a web host, and you do because, you know, Facebook, Google+, everything gets hacked. But if you set up your own web page, it'll never get hacked. Unless you kind of make some mistakes or pick an easy password like password. But still, you can have your own web page. If you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. When you're at the office, do you often run to the vending machine for snacks? Those things are terrible for you. Instead, have snacks delivered to you. So go to graze.com. Graze.com has healthy snacks that you can decide what kind of snacks you want, how often you want them, whether they get delivered to you, or if you choose them every time. I myself get the subscription box every 2 weeks so that I have healthy things to eat when I'm at work. You can get a free box by using the code CORYS3R5P. Matter of fact, use that code your fifth and your first box are free. Again, that's CORYS3R5P. If you'd like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose Podcast Network shows, you can just send us an email at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks.
Answer was so easy.
And then after that, you know, we have to talk about all the other shows I do.
Yes.
And because there are a lot of them, and here they are. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network has all sorts of podcasts. We've got Scrabbling Across the West with Dave Cafell and his lovely bride, Stephanie. They travel across the country playing musical gigs, and at night they sit down to play Scrabble and talk about their day at scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There's Novelcast over at novels.solitairerose.com, where I take the novels that I've written and turn them into audio podcasts. Currently, we are doing a novel called Do the Job, which is a murder mystery set in the world of 1980s professional wrestling. Then over at badadvice.solitairerose.com, me, Corey Strode, and Wolfie B. Bad, along with Dan Moore, give bad advice to people who send in questions. That's bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is growing. Be there! You think NBC will get mad I used that? And now we get to Joe's favorite part of the show. No, not where he's used as the model for a gargoyle on top of one of St. Paul's buildings. No, it's Joe, what's going on the eBays?
And it's true. I am an idiot.
Well, I'm glad you said it.
Yeah. Here's what I did. Okay. I had a bunch of eBay stuff, and I'm going to go through and talk about some of the series. But Corey, you've heard about the series Old Man Logan?
Yes.
So it's two series. First, it showed up as a Secret Wars tie-in, a five-issue miniseries, and that went into the regular series, which I only picked up 1 through 18. And when I first pulled the series out to put on eBay, I was looking through it, and I go, hey, I got two number ones, two number twos. That's weird. I got variant covers. And then I looked inside and they were different. I was many confused. So I went to, you know, atomicavenue.com and I figured out, oh, I've got the mini series and I've got the regular series. So I divided them up, took pictures and put them on the eBays. Sold the original series run almost immediately. And so I picked it up and I boxed it up and I got it out today. And then hours later, I sold another run of Old Man Logan. And I'm like, okay, what did I sell? Oh, I sold the miniseries. Went down to get it. Guess where the miniseries is?
In with the regular series.
You people think I lie when I tell you. I will randomly throw shit in your order. I do. In this case, I just messed up. So I had to unfortunately cancel the order for the Old Man Logan. Refund his money, and I sent him a note saying, I am too stupid to live. I'm sorry about that. In the meantime, other things I did sell, which I had in stock, New Avengers Illuminati 1 through 5. This is one of Bendis's books that kind of told the secret history of Illuminati, where they kind of stuck the Avengers in different things. The one that I thought was the most interesting was when they went to some planet outside of Jupiter where the Beyonder was hiding out, making his own version of Earth and playing on it. And they went and tried to convince him he was in an actual inhuman and had to disassociate himself or dissipate or whatever. Spoiler warning, he didn't. I sold a run of Howard the Duck I had, 3 through 11, 4 through 18 in the annual one, the entire Steve Gerber run. I sold it mostly because I have it all now in the omnibus. And I never did get 1, 2, or 12, or 13. And, of course, 12 and 13 were the first appearances of Kiss. I sold a copy of Johnny Viable and His Terse Friends from 2014, Floating World Comics. No idea what it's about. I do recall reading it. I just love the title. Why else am I buying Floppy Cop? A few variants. I did sell Midtown Comics variant cover of Star Wars Darth Vader number 1. I sold the photo cover variant of Doctor Who Cold-Blooded War from IDW. And, you know, I was talking earlier, if you like John Byrne, he did a number of wonderful runs in IDW. You can buy it as a complete book, which I have buried in my graphic novels. So for dirt cheap, I sold off Star Trek Romulans, the Hollow Crown 1 and 2, and Schism 1 and 3. These are fun because they're the original series. They deal with characters we know, and they kind of deal with what was a throwaway line in one episode of Star Trek, the original series. If you recall the Enterprise incident where they went into Romulan space and got surrounded by Klingon ships, and they said, intelligence indicates that Romulans and the Klingons have a pact going. In reality, it was just they made this cool Klingon model, and they had no idea where to use it, so they just threw it in the episode. Well, John Byrne takes that little throwaway line and kind of fills up the background, explaining how the Klingons and Star Trek got together, or Klingons, Romulans, whatever. But it was a fun little series. Dirt cheap on the eBays because nobody cares. But it's John Byrne art, unlike the photo series he was doing later. It was a lot of fun, and definitely I recommend checking out. I did put some more stuff on eBay. I don't know, Corey, you tell me, is it better to talk about things I sold? I like to mention things I put on the eBay, but, you know, there's always a lag time between then and now. I'd hate to have you go onto the eBay and say, well, Joe said it was there, and somebody bought it. Like, had I mentioned last week, I put the Howard the Duck set up. It was already sold before I even got to the next podcast. So I will say I did find a collection of Showcase, the DC comic black and white version, kind of like the DC version of Essentials. And much as I like them, I don't love them. And if I don't love it, if it doesn't bring me joy, I just get rid of it. So go check out the eBay's KRAYZ and see what's up there. I'm always repricing, refidgeting, adding new things. Got a bunch of more series going up. So who knows, you may win something. And if you do, I may accidentally add something in it. You never know. I'm so stupid.
Well, now we get to my favorite part of the show. No, not where I figure out how to have sheep in my yard so I never have to mow again.
I thought that was llamas.
Now llamas spit.
Llama, la llama.
No, it's Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
You know, you out there in podcast land have been listening to Corey and I go on and on about the horrendous weather and the cold and the snow and the snow and the cold. Well, guess what? We are having what we call the Great Minnesota Meltdown. No, we're not going crazy temperature-wise, although we are going to get some 40s. Nope, all that snow has got to go, and it's not going to stop for anybody. Hence, almost our entire state is under some type of flood watch or warning. Corey lives a lot closer to a river than I do. All I know is all that snow that's on the roof is going to melt. I think I've destroyed enough of the ice dam so that it will go somewhere else. I did spend a few hours today scraping more snow off the roof. Because, you know, you're sitting here and you suddenly hear drip, drip, and you're like, ah, shit, I hope that's not inside my wall. Nope, still outside. But guess what? Corey, tell the people what the problem is about the Great Minnesota Meltdown.
Flooding.
Yep. The ground is frozen rock solid. The ground will not accept any water because the thermofrost from the first part of the season is about 6 feet down, which means it's not going to thaw until maybe June. And we've got rain coming. We've got sun tomorrow. You know, this snow is going to melt fast. It's going to melt furious. It's going to go into rivers. It's going to flood. It may flood into my basement. It may flood out roads. It does wonders for potholes. So, yeah, we're not done with Mother Nature yet. Who's pissing off Mother Nature? I give you such a smack. Other than that, my truck is still acting up. I got a little worried today because I went and as I was dealing my eBay stuff. Oh, it sounded bad. Grind, grind, grind. I stopped, dropped my stuff at the post office, got back in the truck. It was fine. All I can say is I hope I don't have to four-wheel drive anymore because if I don't, I think my truck will last through the summer and then I can buy a new one in the fall. If not, well, you know, there's always next week's freaking. Corey, what you freaking on?
I got a few things. First, Joe, do you remember when they had the True Believers book and two of them were secret?
I don't know. I probably ignored it.
They're still secret.
Ooh, okay. I'm buying it.
And then all the secret solicitations that are coming out where it's, okay, here's this book. What is it? We're not going to tell you. Who's drawing it? We're not going to tell you. Who's writing it? We're not going to tell you. Guess what? I'm not going to buy it.
Yep.
I'm really tired of it. The last time they did it with that Mr. and Mrs. X, and I guess it sold well enough that they figured they could do it again. No, no, stop it. If I were a comic shop, I wouldn't order any of them. If you don't tell me what the book is and who's doing it, I'm not going to order it. I would order it for subscribers only, and subscribers who order it blind are stupid. Second thing I am freaking on, Joe, Comics Pro was like 3 weeks ago, and now more stories are leaking, showing that the initial reports were wrong.
You don't see, but I'm shaking my head yet. Yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
why didn't they just release the information? You know, DC and Marvel, why didn't you just release the information rather than have a month of misinformation and wrong stuff that you've got to spend weeks doing PR cleanup about?
Yeah.
It's well, like when Marvel so a few secretive. Years ago, I think it was either last year or the year before, when somebody at Marvel said something along the lines of diversity doesn't work and we're not going to do it anymore. And what it was, the guy had said something about how, you know, diversity comics may not sell well in comic shops, but they're selling great in other venues. Well, people picked up on it on the misreported part and ran with it. You have to do this PR cleanup every year. I'm sorry, but the second time you have to do PR cleanup after something, that's your fault. You're just being a moron. You know that the stuff's going to get leaked, and you know that these comic shops are not going to give the whole story, or they're going to get part of the story, or they're going to get something wrong. Just release the information. Save yourself so much time. It's like companies when they have to go into cleanup mode. There are people now who their job is, when you screw up, to fix it in the press. Well, tell you what, next year, give your Comic Pro speech and then do an interview right afterward with somebody and have it all out there on the record rather than keeping it secret so that it can be misreported. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Let's see. I've got an odd work week this week, which is, let's see if I can make sense of it. Okay, worked. First of all, I'm working not my full 10-hour days yet. I'm not quite there. I might mention this. I'm working like 5 hours regular work, which is usually standing, checking, inspecting luggage. And then I'm supposed to do 3 hours sit down. Now, we had a snowstorm. So Friday, all the airlines busted their left nuts trying to get everybody out. So Friday was amazingly busy. And yeah, I probably sat for 3 hours, but it wasn't necessarily the way I'm supposed to. I mean, it'd be like, work for an hour and a half, sit for 15 minutes, work for another half hour, sit for 20 minutes, blah, blah, blah. And I just told my boss, I said, I can't do this. You know, it's just too hard on my hip. The next day, They had a burst out Sunday morning, and then what saved us is, and not necessarily, is that we had more rain than snow. Some places north of us had up to a foot of snow, and this is heavy, wet, heart attack snow, not the light, fluffy stuff that we talked about a few podcasts back. And then we had the snow overnight. So I was able to get to work okay. I was able to get home okay. And hopefully that's the last time I have to use my four-wheel drive. And Saturday, consequently, at the airport was just nothing. You know, we had the little burst because the international flights come in, and then it was an easy day. And Sunday, I have my x-ray day where I look at x-ray images all day long. I sit down. The worst part is I just got to remember to stand up. Otherwise, I'm like super stiff half the day. I have today off, which I'm podcasting with my buddy. And then Corey, too.
Who's that?
I know. And then I've got 3 days of training, which, again, is sit down. 2 days off, so I have to go drink with the Irish. I work another sit down day, and then my normal three days off. So it's kind of like, yeah, I'm going to be at work training, but it's not really work, you know. It's not, and I'm getting paid for it. That's half the battle. What's nice though is Half Price Books gave me a bunch of coupons. It's like each day is a different percentage off, and as you work your way till Sunday, March 17th, which I work, it starts at 20%, goes to 50. So I got to decide which half price I want to hit and hope that they might have something that I want to go 40, 50, 60% or whatever off on. So if I find anything, I'll talk about it next week. TV-wise, I haven't really watched anything new. My wife and I were going to sit down. Hey, let's check out some new Netflix. And we do what we always do. Watch what we've already seen before. We watched Animal House and Monty Python Live at the Hollywood Bowl. Both of which, again, it was fun. Now, reading. I read an awful lot in the last couple of weeks, and mostly graphic novels. So bear with me as I kind of talk about some of the stuff. And some of it I got in box day. Green Lantern by Geoff Johns, book one, Hal Jordan Returns. This takes you back into the heady days when Hal Jordan was tied into the Spectre. You know, after he did all that weird parallax stuff, destroyed the Green Lantern corpse and blew up Coast City, or no, Mongo blew up, whatever. It doesn't matter. This is his redemption, the rebirth of the Green Lantern Corps. And the first couple issues of the long run that Geoff Johns did. I was bemoaning the fact that I hope DC doesn't decide to abandon this because I've sold all my Green Lantern comics, but this is really a fun run. Geoff was on his game with this. Again, same thing with the JSA books that I'm collecting. So if they're not going to come out monthly, just whatever. I'm just going to be along for the haul. Corey recommended Mr. Miracle by Tom King and Mitch, how do you say it?
Gerards.
Gerards. I liked it. This was a blast reading. I wonder if you don't know who the new gods are, if you'll get as much out of it. And at the end of it, and again, I don't know if you want to throw up a spoiler warning, because this is a book that just came out off a series that's been out for a while. Did this happen, or did it happen in his head?
Well, there's going to be another series that ties into it. I have a freaking that's tied in with that, Joe.
Okay.
You got the trade paperback, right? Because the trade paperback was all there was. Well, the trade paperback sold well enough. Now they're going to put out a hardcover.
Aw.
Fuck you, DC. You always put out the hardcover first, then the trade paperback.
Yeah. No, that's...
rather have had the hardcover, but I'm not buying it again.
No.
Go to hell, you bastards.
I enjoyed this series. I don't have any real questions on it because I knew who the characters were when they pop up. They don't spend a lot of time explaining who they are. So I think if you know who the new gods are coming into it, it might be a little more fun for you. And like I said, when you got to the end, did this happen in the new 52 DC universe? Did it happen in Scott Free's head? Does it matter? I got to go get my 3D glasses and look on this because this art is really trippy. On the Mirror Universe side of things, I got this book really cheap off eBay because it was a little bit damaged. But, you know, damaged books read the same. Star Trek Next Generation Mirror Broken from IDW, written by Scott Tipton, David Tipton, with art by J.K. Woodward. And, of course, this is the other dimensional Mirror Universe. There's no Federation of Planets, just a little, basically the great Terran Empire that we've seen is basically on its last legs because the Klingon Cardassians got together and kicked their butts. However, Captain Jean-Luc Picard has learned a final chance for victory with a revolutionary new galaxy-class starship, and he wants it. The only bummer about this is I don't think they included the loot crate story because, as I recall reading it, which I sold off to eBay a while back, the loot crate story dealt more with Data and how Picard found him and how he became sort of, I mean, when we see Data in this, he's half Borg. So I don't know. Is there another Mirror Broken series coming, Corey, or is this?
I don't know.
It very well could be, which hopefully they would reprint it. But I was a little disappointed that one shot from Loot Crate wasn't in it. But other than that, a good series. I picked up What If, the Complete Collection, Volume 1, containing the original What Ifs from 77, 1 through 12. And this includes a lot of fun stuff. First of all, you get a good story by Ralph Macchio,
yep.
And where he kind of talks about the whole what if thing. Right now, we're almost what if over, but I cannot tell you how mind blowing it was. What if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four? Well, big deal. He has, but back then he wasn't. He was a solo guy going around the streets of New York, more outlaw than anything. And it's always just one little thing that changes the story. What they did in this, of course, and the art varies depending on who it is. I think the first issue had Jim Craig and Pablo Marcos. They do a revamp of the origins. They say what happened in our reality. They show what changed, and then they go forward from there. The second one was what if Hulk had the brain of Bruce Banner. Again, at the time, he didn't. He was just, Hulk smash, leave me alone. What if the Avengers had never been, which held up pretty good. Let's see. And then they came up with some interesting one. What if the Avengers had stayed together after World War II? There was, what if Captain America hadn't vanished during World War II? Which I wasn't sure. Is that that one? I'm not sure if they. Oh no, that was a different one. What if the Fantastic Four had different powers?
The thing about the Captain America one, a lot of that story is actually canon. All the people who Captain America after, that was the first time it was put in a timeline, and explained. Well, who was Captain America in the comics after World War II?
Yeah, and there were a couple other ones, too. You get the issue now. What if the Avengers had fought evil during the 1950s, which I guess is canon. I think that was one.
Yes, they it's canon they now said, because that's now Agents of Atlas.
Yep. A couple other ones. What if somebody else besides Spider-Man was bitten by a radioactive spider? What was fun of these is they also include the letter pages, which was kind of neat because you get different people complaining about things. Like they did one in the previous Cap America story where Nick Fury died in the Korean War. And it basically propelled the storyline in because that allowed Cap to become an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. when he got old enough. And then Bucky took up the S.H.I.E.L.D. and blah, 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 go on. And people were like incensed. Why did he have to die? That had nothing to do with the main story. And I kind of told him, I said, okay, I guess we just randomly can't have people die for the sake of dying. It has to be part of the story. Which I guess didn't bother me as much as a reader. And of course, every issue coming up next, what if Conan walked the earth today? This time for sure, what if Conan walked the earth today? No, what if Jane Foster had found the hammer of Thor? Which again, we see what happens when she picked it up because they just did a beautiful run of it. But this one's a little different because if you remember how Thor was formed, Donald Blake found the stick and became Thor. Well, what if Jane found it first? Well, we kind of saw that with Beta Ray Bill too. But again, these are all stories that, you know, they may be what if, but they are, you know, we've seen them act them out. So maybe these guys are just way ahead of their time. And then, of course, the one we've been talking about, finally, we're going to do the what if. No, they brought this just a fun story by Jumpin' Jack Kirby. What if the original Marvel bullpen had become the Fantastic Four?
I love that story so much.
It was just fun. And, of course, then they, okay, next issue for sure. What if Conan watched Year Today? No, we're going to do what if Rick Jones had become the Hulk? Again, yeah, he becomes it later. But back then, when these stories first came out, they just hadn't happened yet. And you wonder if people are just going back and say, hey, you know, that was a good idea. Let's give Jane Foster the hammer. There's already precedence that she was worthy and picked it up. And, of course, it ends at issue 12. And as we all know, issue 13 was the what if that had the Conan story in it. At least the first one. There were a couple other ones that came. I think there was what if Conan walked the earth today? And then there was a later on, what if Conan got stuck in the current time? And then there was one, what if Wolverine was a barbarian? And I think that's where he ends up falling back in time and can't get forward. So just a fun series for a guy like me, because I grew up on these. I remember my hunt, my little 12-year-old brain going nuts. What if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four? Nowadays, they just kind of push these things out. They had a big event. Well, what if Dr. Doom, what if Dr. Strange accepted the Beyonder's power and made Secret Wars? Too soon, man. Too soon. So I don't even know if what if's a decent concept today, because I know the last batch I read wasn't that much fun. But what do I know? I read comics. I don't write them. So prove me wrong, creators. Prove me wrong. Corey, what you geeking on?
Joe, did you ever have an Atari 2600?
I was poor. I had a Atari computer, which didn't do anything except short out after 5 minutes. But I never had any actual video games.
Well, guess what? You can have all of them now. When we did... let's see, it was 2 years ago on Black Friday. We went to one of those game shops that sold used video games, and I picked up Atari Flashback Volume 1. And I was feeling a bit nostalgic a couple of weeks ago. So, well, how many did they do? Well, they did 3 of them. Oh, okay. So I go out to the Amazons to see how much they are. And the second one is sold out, but people are selling it for like $35, $40 bucks.
Yeah.
I'm not that nostalgic. How about number 3? Number 3 is sold out and is selling for $60 to $100 bucks.
I'm shaking my head.
And, you know, we've got two local used game stores here. The one that had them was selling them for the same price. And, you know, he said, well, you know, I get my prices off eBay, et cetera, et cetera. So for a minute, I was in despair. And then I remembered that Xbox sells all their games online, digitally. So I go to the Xbox Live store. There they are, still at their original price of $20 bucks.
Woohoo!
Boom, boom, there you go, I got them. It basically, buying all three, you have every Atari game that Atari finished, even if it wasn't put out by Atari. They've also got a lot of the Activision games, a lot of the M Network games. Now, I was really big into video games back then. M Network were games made by Mattel. Now, Mattel had their own, the Intellivision, but the Atari was selling so well that they ported some of their games over to the Atari, calling it M Network. They've also got some of the Atari 5200 games,
ooh,
which was the second console that Atari did after the 2600. So, are the games fun? Yeah, they're fun for a little bit.
Yep.
But still, I was able to get the whole thing, and rather than pay collector game prices, I bought them digitally, which is why I say, you know, oh, this comic sold out. No, it didn't. As long as you're willing to buy it digitally, it's still available. Matter of fact, you could go on eBay right now. Oh, but I want Fantastic Four number 48, the first appearance of Silver Surfer. Guess what? They've got it on. You could buy it digitally now for $3.99. That's what's going to happen. That's why I keep saying comic shops need to dump those back issues. They're not going to be where the money is. Joe, I don't know how much diet soda you drink.
At least two a day, two cans.
I'm
my caffeine of choice.
Yep, that's my caffeine of choice. I don't like the taste of coffee, although it is winter, so I drink a lot more hot tea. But yeah, there are a lot of soda flavors that come and go. The Diet Coke has now put out one that, oh my God, they cannot get rid of. If they get rid of, I will cry. Orange Vanilla Coke Zero. And I thought, and I bought it thinking, this will, because I like weird sodas. And I taste it like, oh my gosh, this is so good. If they do get rid of it, I do have a soda stream, so I could kind of make my own. But man, that's my soda of choice now. I mean, I am in love with it. Just like I'll probably be in love with the maple bacon donut cereal. Mm. Comic-wise, I read the first five issues of The Unstoppable Wasp, and they are fucking amazing. The art is very much aimed at a younger audience. It's very, very manga-inspired. The premise of it is, Joe, do you know who The Unstoppable Wasp is?
I don't.
Well, you know that Hank Pym was married before Janet Van Dyne.
Probably.
And then his wife, basically, it was one of those things where, he got married and then she was taken by the Ruskies. And what they didn't know and what they just revealed a few years ago was that she was pregnant when she was taken by the Russians. And his daughter was raised in the Red Room, the same place that raised the Black Widow. However, she's escaped, and she's a relentlessly optimistic science nerd. Now, these five issues are about kind of, okay, setting up the premise again, where she's the original Wasp has basically given her the money to start up a scientific foundation using that money and Hank Pym's money, because Hank Pym is missing now. He's merged with Ultron in a stupid story. Nope. And she's gathering together young girls who have scientific aptitude. Well, they did a story where they were attacked by AIM. And this kind of caused the Unstoppable Wasp to snap a little bit. And they did a two-part story, issues 4 and 5, where she acts weird. And we find out through the story that she's got bipolar disorder. And they also say that, oh, that's what caused Hank Pym to be all weird in the past. But the writer sat down with psychiatrists and other experts to write a story showing what bipolar is like. It's beautifully done. It's got all the superhero stuff you need. But it's also, a very heartbreaking look at what it's like to be friends with someone with mental illness that's uncontrolled. Because, she's not diagnosed yet. I cannot recommend the story enough, even if you just pick up Unstoppable Wasp 4 and 5. Beautiful, beautiful story. I love it a lot. Bendis also has his own line over at DC, and I decided to give those a try. So I read the first issue of Young Justice. That was a lot of fun. And it reminded me of why I liked when Peter David did his Young Justice series. I like teams of teenage superheroes because the emotions are all exploding all over the place. And the characters are just discovering their powers. And there's a lot of drama that you can pull from that. Kind of like the new Teen Titans. Kind of like the X-Men in the 70s and 80s. And then the other book that he's doing is Naomi. Now, Joe, have you read Naomi?
I did not. I didn't even read the free preview they were pushing.
She lives in a small town out in the middle of nowhere. Superman comes and stops, a disaster. And then she starts to realize she's got superpowers. And I like that Bendis is, again, what he did over at Marvel, he's doing at DC. He's doing books for younger readers. But this also draws from DC history. There's some hints that this has ties to characters we haven't seen in a while. It's really well done, and I liked it a lot. So far, the first two books of the Young Justice line I've liked. And I think DC did a good job by pulling Bendis over. Because while I always liked his stuff at Marvel, I think his last couple series were, you know, him just going through the motions. Whereas this, he seems very excited again, and it shows in his writing. So next week, I'll go through all sorts of stuff I've read, because next week is our reviews week. How's that for a tease, Joe?
That means I got to start reading some stuff.
And who knows? Maybe I'll have some sort of big announcement about the summer.
Ooh.
That'd be a good thing to do for episode 399, right?
I got an idea for 399, but we'll wait till next week.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for almost 2 hours, because previews always goes on forever.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to preview.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
I had to wait till Dangerous Dan Moore was not on the show to talk about this next band coming up called the Cybertronic Spree. It is basically a, it's kind of like the 5-year mission, you know, how they, a tribute band to Star Trek. The Cybertronic Spree is a tribute to Transformers. Now, you're going to listen to the song that they told me I could drop at the end of the show, but really, you got to go to YouTube's and check it out, because these guys dress up in some tremendous outfits as Transformers. Just incredible. You can follow them on their Facebook page, the Cybertronic Spree. You can go to their website, which is on Linktree. I think it's linktr.ee/Cybertronic Band, where you'll find all their different links, including an upcoming show in Cleveland, Ohio, April 5th and April 6th. You can go get tickets off Live Nation, or just head to the YouTubes, type in Cybertronic Spree, pick any song, and just, oh, it's just crazy. I mean, they sound amazing. They look even more fantastic. So the song they let me drop is called Dare. It's live. It's a song by Vince DiColda and Stan Bush. They Cybertronic Spree performed this to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Transformers. Corey, it's time to transform, roll out, and hit my music.